ShasIlluminated.org presents the following shiur by Rabbi Levi Langer. Meseches Tamid is dedicated anonymously in honor of Rabbi and Mrs. Yaakov Metz.
Rabbi, we are excited to inform you, our dear listeners, that at the upcoming Shas Illuminated Siyum HaShas, which will take place in Lake Terrace in Lakewood, New Jersey on December 15th, we will proudly honor the dedicated Talmidei Chachamim who have been instrumental in spreading Shas Illuminated to every corner of the Torah world. We will be honoring as guest of honor and the Amud HaTorah Award, Rav Aaron Sorsher Shlita. In addition, we will be honoring all of the other Shas Illuminated Magidei Shir with the Harbotzes Torah Award. Many of the Magidei Shir will be gracing us with their presence at the Siyum HaShas. To place an ad in the journal in their honor, or to register for the Siyum, please go to shasilluminated.org/Siyum, that is shasilluminated.org/Siyum, or call 203-312-SHAS, that is 203-312-7427. We look forward to sharing the Simcha of Kavod HaTorah together with you.
Masechta Tomid, Daf Lamed Aleph. We're beginning the fourth perek of Masechta Tomid. The fourth perek discusses the Shchitas HaTomid and the Hakrovas HaTomid, all the details. And the perek starts by discussing the Shchita, and it says that the Tomid Shal Shachar, the morning Tomid, was Nishchat near the Keren Tzfoinis Marovis of the Mizbeach, that's near the northwest corner of the Mizbeach, but at the Tabas Hashnir, the second ring over by the west, the northwest corner of the Mizbeach, whereas the Talmud Shel Ben HaAbayim was Nishchat right near the Keren Mizrachas Tzfoinis of the Mizbeach, that's by the northeast corner of the Mizbeach, also by the Tabas Hashnir, the second ring near the Mizbeach. The Gemara explains on this, the Gemara is in the bottom of today's Daf, the bottom of Daf Lamed Aleph, and the Gemara says that the reason for this is because of a drosh on the Pasuk of Shnayim Layoim, it's Pasuk says Shnayim Layoim Oyla Somid, so we dash in Shnayim Layoim Keneged HaYoim, which is to say facing the sun. The Yoim is a reference to the sun, the Shemesh, and the sun in the morning is shining from the east, and it shines and it casts its rays of light in the west side of the Azorah. So Mamela, therefore, in the morning you shech the Tomat Shal Shachar on the west side, and the Ma'ariv, Tzofen Ma'ariv. Masha'ein Kain in the afternoon, the late afternoon, the sun is located in the west of the sky and it's shining its rays toward the east, so it illuminates the east of the Azorah, and therefore in the Tomat Shal Ben Harbayim, which is shechted as the end of the day in the afternoon, so that is shechted on the near the Keren Mizrachas Tzfoinis of the Mizbeach and the northeast corner of the Mizbeach. The Yerushalmi in the Sechta Brochus brings in this din as well, and the same Drosha as well, Shnayim Layoim, Kineged Hayoim. And the Yerushalmi in Brochus and Daf Lamed adds to this the following. It says, V'hu, says the Yerushalmi, Sheyehe Yedeya, Eize Mehen Nishchat Shachris, Ve'eize Mehen Nishchat Arvis. So the person has to know, you have to halt kop, keep in mind, keep straight, what was Shechta in the morning, what was Shechta in the afternoon. Very unclear what the Yerushalmi means to add with this. What is this din noisaf that the Yerushalmi is adding on? You got to know what you're Shechting in the Shachris and what you know what you're Shechting in the afternoon. So Pnei Moshe, on the side of this, Yerushalmi explains that sometimes, Zokter, there would be a delay in offering the Evorim, the limbs of the Oilas HaTomid on the top of the Berg. They Shechted, obviously, they Zorik the Dam that was done in the morning for the Shabbat Shal Shachar, but maybe you didn't get around to offering up a Makrev, the limbs, the Evorim of the Ola. So therefore, when it comes to the afternoon, maybe you'll have the limbs, the Evorim of the Ola Tomit Shachar, still left to be offered, and you'll have the limbs of the Ben Abayim as well. And maybe you could just mix them all together, Zokta, and put a big pile, a big batch, and offer them all without any Havchona, any discrimination, which is the Shachar Evorim, which are the Ben Abayim Evorim. So Zokta, that's the Yerushalmi, Zokta Pnei Moshe, that you gotta know which Evorim belong to the Shachris, Tomit, which Evorim belong to the Ben Abayim, Kadei Shaloyas Arvu, they should not be intermingled with that discernment between them, says the Pnei Moshe, so therefore they would leave them b'makom shchitasam l'sim. In other words, he learns that if for whatever reason you knew that you were going to have a delay in offering up the Evorim of the Tomat Shal Shachar, you would leave them b'makoyimon near the western side of the Azorah, and that way the Ben Abayim are, after all, start from the east side, the of Mizrochus, like we're saying in the Mishnah, and that way you'll end up avoiding being intermingling b'urav and not being able to be mavchen between them. That's the din of the Pnei Moshe. And the Pnei Moshe offers no explanation for an obvious kasha on him, which is, what in the world is the makor for such a din? Where does it come from? What's about Betzim? You know, I mean, we're bechtesi that you can't mix together the Evorim and offer them up on the Mizbeach and not be able to be mavchen, discriminate between them. Where did it come from, such a din? There's no explanation for this in the Pnei Moshe. In the Perashah Reidim, them at the bottom of the Yerushalmi over there, he says a different pshat. And this other pshat of the Perish Achareidim is also found in the Perish of the Zayas Ranon on the bottom of the Yalkut Shemayni, which the Yalkut Shemayni says this whole shtickle Yerushalmi. It's found in the Yalkut Shemayni and Pinchas by the Postik Shnayim Lehem Elasomid. And as you know, the Perish of the Zayas Ranon, the classic Pamepharish on the bottom of the Yalkut Shemayni, is authored by the Mogan of Rome, a very choshev Perish. And both the Achareidim and the Zayas Ranon on the Medrash both say exactly the same thing, and they said there's a special din in the pasuk of Shnayim LaYoyim, in addition to the drosha that we have in the Gemara, that you have the question of location-wise, where in the Azor are going to be shechting them, is also on Bazundir Halacha, in a distinct din, the Loshon of the Zayas Ranon, that Beshas Hafrosha Yiyah Lishmo, which is elaborated on by the Perish Achredim as well, what they say is that you have to be mafrish and be maktish, specially designate the Tomat Shal Shachar that it be, should be for the morning, and the Tomat Shal Ben Habayim that it should be for the afternoon. So each day is Tomid, and each Shachar of the day and Arbar Ben Abayim of the day has to be Mohuktash and Hufrash, designated, set aside, Huktash consecrated, L'shem, the speciella individual Talmud that it's going to serve as. The Talmud Shal Ben Abayim of today, the Talmud Shal Shachar of today, and that's another thing that's learned at a Shnayim L'Yoyim, two independent Kabbonahs, separate from each other, distinct. You can't just be Maktish them all and just get around to offering today's and the mornings and the afternoons, just take one of the batch, but they have to be specially offered, and that's Pshat in the Yushalmi, they say, and Nishat Shachar says in Nishat Arvis, you have to know which one is designated to be offered and be shechted in the morning, and which one designated to be offered and shechted in the afternoon. So that's especially, that's a kosev, a remarkable din, the way that the Gedoyle, Kadmoinim, and Achroinim learn up this Yerushalmi. There is a kasha on this din of the Yerushalmi that's found in the Sefer Shmuel Chaim. The Shmuel Chaim points out that it comes out of the sugyas in Masechta Menachos that you always had to have, and Zvochim Menachos, you have various sugyas that you always, there was a din bikur dalad yomim by the Korban Tamid, so you had to check it 4 days for a boom, and because of that reason there was always extra tmidim, always a whole group of tmidim in the Lishkas HaTloim of the Beis HaMikdash, and not just that, but the Gemara Menachos Avnun and Mavua, that they were actually backup tmidim as well, Shema Yera Psul Be'echod Mehem, the psul might come out, that you might end up finding a psul, a mum in one of them, and then you'll use one of the backups. And the Gemara is Mavur over there, there's a cheshvin, the Gemara Menachos Staf Nun, about how many tlon that you had. The Gemara has a whole cheshvin over there. It's Mavur from the Gemara that if you didn't end up using the backup today, you could use it for tomorrow, and they would hold on to it. And that's what comes out of the Gemara Menachos. So the kasha the Shmuel Chaim asks is, he says, it's mochach in the Gemara Zokta, in Masech Teshuva Staf Yud, that before any tleh, any lamb, was put into the Lishkas HaTomid, they always maktish it first. It was huktash, and then it was placed in the Lishkas HaTomid, in Lishkas HaTloim. Frekt air, if that's the case, so how could it be that the Gemara is mavur, that they would use these backup tmidim in case they would find a mum? They would use the backup one, you could use it for the morning, the afternoon, for the next day, whatever you needed it for. Frekt air, how could you do such a thing? The way we're saying now, the Rosh and the Yerushalmi and the Yalkut Shemayni, and the way that the Achorim are learning up, it's mavur, that you have to consecrate it, you have to maktish it for the individual tomid that it's going to serve as. You have to consecrated Makdash for the today is Tomash Shachar, for the day is Tomash Ben Abayim, etc. And if so, it should come out that if it was Huktash and consecrated to serve as today's morning Tomid, it can't serve as the afternoon Tomid or tomorrow's Tomid. And M.K., how do you ever have a fulfillment of what it's Mavur and Menachas Daf Nun? And the Gemara and the Rashi over there, that the backup to me, the backup to him, we hold on to. If you use it for today, you use it. If not, you hold on to tomorrow, maybe you end up using it. How could such a thing be, Zokter, given the fact that A, they already were Kodesh, where the time they were put into the Lishkas HaTloim, like at Mavur and Shavuot Staf Yud in the Gemara, and B, once they were Kodosh, you're using it for today, for tomorrow, whatever you need it for. What do you do with this din of the Yerushalmi that you have to consecrate it Meikoroi for some individual carbon for the use of that particular yom, for that particular morning or afternoon? So the Shmuel Chaim says that you have to be Mechadish, it's Muchrach Zok there, that you have to work, perhaps you could work out that there was actually two Bazunder Shlavim, there was two stages in which they were consecrated, they were Makdish and Mafri, the Korban Tomid, and he says actually he wants to mechadish that there were two levels of Hakdosha of the Tomid. First he consecrated it B'Klolos, the general Hakdosha, to serve as the Kedushas HaTomid, and that they did before they put into Lishkas HaTloim, but then Zokte, when they would take it out, so prior to being Makrivit, they had to makdish a second level of Kedusha, a Mazundur, a special Kedusha that was individual for to this morning's Tomid Shal B'Shachar, for this afternoon's Tomid Shal Ben Abayim and the like, and that was actually a special din, which Zokte, it wasn't, it was, with a shlav noisif, and there's a second stage that could be chal on top of the basic holistic concept of a kedushas atomid. There was a second stage that's chal that there should be bazunda special the kodesh for today's kedusha atomid shal shachar. That's the din of the Yushalmi, and that zok there they could be makdish that on the spot before they makriv it. Meila zok there, that's why you could have the it's richtig what it says in the Moreh Menachos and Rashi over there on Daf Nun that you could have these backup tloim. They didn't get an individual consecration for what specific purpose to be used for, and the Meila they could use for a backup whenever they needed, and when they are needed, you'll consecrate them with the Sveta Shlav, the second stage of the Kedusha, and give it a Bazunder, a special Kedusha of the Kedusha Tomas HaShachar, or the Kedusha Bein HaAbayim, respectively. The Mishnah goes on, it discusses how they butchered the Tomid, and they would take out the various limbs and Ivorim from the Tomid to be held by the various people. So when it gets to the lev, to the heart, it says a very cryptic thing in the Mishnah. It says, Kora HaLev V'Hoitzi Esdomoi. So they would rip out the heart, take the heart out, and they would squeeze out the blood from the cavities within the heart. Kora HaLev V'Hoitzi Esdomoi. This is not very clear. It's not really explained in the Mishnah. The Mefarish on the side of the page doesn't explain it. What was the reason why they had to remove the dam? Remove the blood from the heart. What's wrong with just taking the blood, the heart, the way that it is, with blood inside of it, then you'll offer it on top of the mezbeach. What could be wrong? Why do you have to dafka squeeze out the blood from the heart before you are going to be makriv the heart with the other ivorim on the top of the mezbeach? So the Peirush HaRosh on the side of the page says the following chiddush. He says a chiddush, and he interprets it as follows. The Rosh says that the reason that you have to remove this dam from the heart is because shehaseh goinachas b'shah shchita. In other words, he says that at the time of the shchita, the seh gives a kind of a krechts in its size, and there's a kind of gasping breath that it takes, and it draws in, it sucks in blood, zok there. It's moisheches the dam from the base hashchita, sometimes back into the heart. In other words, that there was dam that was actually at the neck area that was supposed to go into the keli and was supposed to have a din kabbalah on it, and that dam got schlepped sometimes because of the gasping breath that it takes b'shas tashchita. The dam gets schlepped back into the heart, and that dam that is found now in the lev, it could be that that's dam for the base hashchita that it really had a din kabbalah on it. And what happens is, Dr. Rosh, it was never in its kabbalah in a keli, and consequently has a din of dam shenishpach. No, just like the Gemara tells us in Masecht Zvachim, that blood that gets nishpach on the ritzba and wasn't accepted into a keli is possible from being going onto the mezbeach, and you're not allowed to be makriv on the mezbeach. And over here, Zokter, this dam had a din to go on to the mezbeach a yidei zeh durch them that you're supposed to mekabel in a keli, because this is dam perhaps that was in the base hashchita and now got sucked back into the heart. It started in the base hashchita, should have had a kabbalah's keli, never had it, and it became you have this din of the sugya in zvachim that the gemara is mevur in zvachim that dam that wasn't mekabel in the keli can't go on the mezbeach, and that's why you have to make sure that none of that dam that's in the heart is going to go on top of the mezbeach on the fire on top of the mezbeach, because it's possible in the mezbeach since it wasn't this kabbal in a keli. This is a very interesting chiddush of pshat that it says in the Rosh about why you take the dam out of the heart. In the Sefer Mikdash David on Kochim, the Mikdash David writes that Be'etzim Luli Divi HaRosh, he says he would have suggested a pshat that's perhaps simpler, but evidently the Rosh did not accept this pshat. He says that he would have suggested that the reason why you have to get the dam out of the heart is because we know the Gemara tells us Kam Pa'omim in many different places, is in this Mashki Yisroel, that any entity that goes on the from a korban onto the Mizbeach has to be mashki yisroel, has to be a zach that's kosher for a yidin to drink, a kosher for a yidin to eat, has to be mashki yisroel, kosher for mashamutal yisroel. So it's talked like this. The dam, obviously, is not kosher, because dam is also to consume. The yisroel can consume dam. However, for stage zach, that's not a problem when it comes to the din zrikas hadam, because vakarit, the pasuk itself says that the dam of a nefesh yichaper, al kanamarti, the pasuk itself indicates that dam is not supposed to be consumed by a yid, because dam is dedicated to go onto the mezbeach. So for stage zach, the dam that's nizuk on the mezbeach doesn't have any din that it's a problem that it's not able to be consumed by a yid, because fakert, it's dedicated to the mezbeach, and that's why the tapasik is saying that it goes on the mezbeach and therefore can't be consumed. So that's the dam that's nizuk b'teres rika. Masha'en came over here, we're talking about dam that's not going b'teres rika, rather it's inside of the heart and it's going to be offered on top of the fire. There's going to be a din haktara on that. So zok there, that dam, if you want to offer on the mezbeach, that's going to have a problem that it's posel. That dam is, in other words, that it's not mashki yisroel, it's not mutal yisroel, and meila it's not kosher because it's not mashki yisroel, and therefore, consequently, there's going to be a problem with putting it on top of the mech because it lacks the special quality of mashki yisroel since it's also for you to consume. And the whole heter to be zorik dam on the mezbeach, as we said, is only dam that's nizrak, that's thrown b'teres rika, not dam that's hukter as a part of the haktorah, offering the limbs on the fire. Be'emes, zok there, It seems, however, that the Rosh was not concerned for this. The Rosh held that once Dam is ahead of the Kohen and the Mizbeach, we're not machalik between Dam being zoyrig Dam against the Dam of the Mizbeach, or being makdir, the Dam is part of the Lev, within the Lev on the top of the Mizbeach. Eich sheyia Dam is ahead of the Kohen and the Mizbeach, and we're not worried about the din of Mashki Yisrael. So the Rosh has machadish a different pshat. The Rosh said the problem was that the Dam wasn't discovered in a keli, and therefore it's also the Kohen and the Mizbeach. It's possible to go to the Mizbeach, because it never had a Kabbalah's Kli. Is Zok there? Maybe you can think Zok on the Rosh. Maybe you could tie in that this whole din, the dam that wasn't a scabble in a keli, is possible to go out of the bech. That's talking about the dam that's going to be nizrak against the size of the bech. That's where there's a din that to be zoyek the dam, you have to have mekabel in a keli. Mashenkin over here, the discussion is not about that. The discussion is about having it the dam, which is within the heart, within the lev, go on top of the bech, pateras haktorah, and the mele for that, maybe there is no din that it has to be scabble in a keli first. So who says that the Rosh is right altogether? Who says the Rosh has the right to say this thing, that since the dam wasn't a scabble in a keli, therefore it can't have a teres haktorah on the top of the bear. Zok the Mikdash David, however, that there is a raya in general, broad terms, there's a raya to the underlying concept that the Rosh is assuming, which is to say that any time that I have any chaylik, any entity of a korban which has a din psul, like for example the dam, or like we'll see a little bit about basar, or the shamnunis, the fats of the basar, whatever it is, any chaylik of a korban that has a din psul that it can't go under the bear because of the teres psul that it got, we do not say that the din psul is only with regard to the specific din hakrova that particular entity is supposed to have. Rather, we say that it applies beklolos to however you're going to put this entity on the bech. Like, for example, here by the dam, the Rosh is correct for asserting that this dam has a dimpsel on it because it wasn't a skabel in a klishoris. It never had it in Kabbalah. And therefore, well, the geveintlich, the regular din on that dam, is that it can be zirkit against the walls in the bech. But the Rosh is correct for asserting that together with that, we have a din that it can't go on the bech at all, no matter how. And therefore, it can't go. It's puzzle. Once it's puzzle, wasn't a skabel in a keli, it also can't go on top of the Mizbeach, but Teres HaKtorah. And that we find in broad terms, Dr. Amokra, for this general idea, in Masech Tzvachim Daf Chav Vov. Over there in Masech Tzvachim, the Gemara has a case of a behemoth that you brought it into the Azorah, and the behemoth is inside of the Azorah, but it stuck its leg. One leg is stuck outside of the Azorah, outside the door. Shanikner is stuck its leg outside of the Azorah, and you shechted it just like that, with the leg outside the Azorah, but roasted most of the animal, most of the behemoth in the Azorah. So the Gemara says that there's a problem with the korban, and the Gemara goes through a discussion what the problem could be. And one side, the Gemara is mavua that the problem is mishum shamnunis. What does that mean, mishum shamnunis? So the Gemara and Rashi explain over there, the problem is as follows, that the leg, by virtue of the fact that it's outside of the Azorah, you shechted the korban, the leg is outside the Azorah, so the basar of this leg, of the regal of the behema, is now basar posel, because the basar was posel b'yoytze, it left the Azorah, and consequently the basar is posel. Not just the meat is posel, but also the shamnunis, the fatty part, the fats of the meat, they are posel as well, they're part of the meat, and the Gemara is mavur over there, that there's a kind of secretions of the fats of the meat, they end up going into the dam, into the blood vessel of the leg, and they travel up the blood vessel of the leg back out all the way through the circulatory system of this geshochten animal. It travels through it and it's going to exit the neck, the tzav or the behemoth, and get miskabel into the keli. So it's going to contain, in other words, posel shamnunis. This dam that was miskabel in the keli will contain posel shamnunis, fatty substances which traveled from the leg that was posel b'yotzei, and therefore you're not allowed to offer that dam onto the mech because it's got posel shamnunis that passels up the whole dam. It's posel shamnunis, it's posel b'yotzei because of the fact that the leg was yotzei in the Azorah. It's zoktav then the Mikdash David. Well, what about the fact that this leg is posel b'yotzei and the basar is posel? The basar is posel, that should be l'chayr b'negeya to its din haktorah, which is to say with regard to offering it on top of the mizbeach, on top of the fire of the mizbeach. The mechtesi, what would anybody think that the fall of the basar creates a problem with regard to the dam? Dam, after all, is being miskabel in a keli and throwing it against the side of the mizbeach, which anyhow there's no shaykhus to a din basar on that. The basar never gets placed against the side of the mizbeach anyway. So why would it be a problem? Why does the Gemara say it's a problem that this posel of fats, shamnunis of basar, that's contained within the dam and the keli, which you're going to be throwing against the side of the mizbeach? Dr. Rosh, you see, the Mizrach David, you see, mamish the same story that the Rosh is bringing out of here, which is to say that once this chal or toyrath soul at any particular entity of a korban, we don't differentiate, we don't specify. It's only possible being placed onto its makom, but rather it's possible and has the issue of being placed onto any part of the bech. So, like you see, see over there in the Gemara in Zvachim that Shanunis, the fat from the regel, is also placed even against the walls under the berach as part of the Rikas Hadam, and likewise here too in the case of the Rosh, the way he learns the Mishnah was saying is that the Pasal Adam that originally started out in the neck area and then was sucked back into the heart, etc., that Pasal Adam cannot go onto the berach, not just that it can't go onto the berach on the walls of the berach but Teres Rika, but it can't go onto the berach at all, even as a Teres HaKtara, as part of being marked to the heart, together with the Evorim on top of the berach, and that's the Pshat in the Rosh. It's the Zokta Mikdash David, that with this parish of the Rosh, we can answer, we can infer an interesting kasha, something of a serious hasugis between our sugya and a sugya in Menachis. Because over here it's Mavur that when they were butchering the limbs of the Oila, the Oilus Behemoth, the Oilus Atomid, so it says regarding the lev that they would kore umoitzi as dummy. They would rip it open and they would squeeze all the blood prior to offering up the heart on the mizbeach. However, Zokta Benegeta Oilus Oif, which is discussed, I'm sorry, Masech Zvachim, and Zvachim Samach Dalit, it discusses the whole Seder of offering up the Oilus Oif, and that's oil of bird, Oila, and over there, it talks about offering the various limbs, and it does not mention anything about ripping open the heart of the Oilus Oif, of the bird, and removing the blood prior to offering up the heart. So it's a stereo, what's the difference? It does discuss over there, by the way, removing the Mura Venoitza, removing the various elements that have to be removed, but it doesn't talk about offering the removing the blood of the heart, and over here it does, so what's the difference? There must be, apparently, you have to for this by finding some distinction between a behemoth, the heart of a behemoth, which you do remove the blood, and the heart of Oilus Ha'if, which you don't. But why? So Zotar, according to the Rosh, it's actually very good. Why? Because we know that a dam of Oilus behemoth, a dam of a korban behemoth, you have to be mekabel the dam in the keli, and only after the kabbalah's keli, so then you deberek the dam from the keli onto the mizbeach. Mas she'en came by Oilus Ha'if, by a korban oif, there's no din to mekabel the dam in the keli, and the Hazor is done directly. That's all. The mitzvah, the various offerings of the dam by Korban Ha'oif, is done directly from the Tzavar Ha'oif itself. There's no din mekabel in a keli. So Melo Zotah works out very well. Over here, in the Beit Korban Behemoth, by Elos Tomid, there's a problem with this dam that was sucked back. You started out in the neck, according to the Rosh, and it was sucked back into the heart. And there's a problem that it wasn't miskabel in a keli, so it can't go out on his bath. So you have to squeeze out that blood. That's only by a korban behemoth, which we're talking about over here. Mashin came to sugyan zvachim some of dollars talking about ilus ha'if by a bird oila. So a bird oil doesn't have any din kabbalas keli. So there's no problem with the dam that's in the heart. There's no, it doesn't get passel by virtue of never having been miskabel in a keli. And that's why there's no problem. You don't have to squeeze out that blood prior to putting the heart with the blood on top of the bech, because the blood is not passel from going on top of the bech since it is a korban oif. An interesting thing that this exact same Stiras HaSugya is that the Mikdash David is Mo'ir from the Sugya over here by the Oilus Behemoth that you do squeeze out the blood from the heart, and the Sugya in Zvachim by Oilus Ha'oif that you don't. This exact same Stira is really discussed in the Tshuvas David Meshorim. David Meshorim, there's a Siman Kufir Aleph, there's a whole Shiloh that was written to him by the son of the Osir of Zagoin, the Chorin Lezvachim, and the son of the Osir of Zagoin asked this Kasha. Not much this Stiras HaSugya is that over here it's Mavu, you have to squeeze the blood out, and in Elos Ha'if it's apparently not Mavur, and apparently you don't. So the son of the officers are going wanted to say a chiluk that he said he brings down a sugya in Mesechta Krisus, where it's Mavur that the heart of an oif has less than a kazayas of blood in it. And in Mela, he, interestingly enough, it actually goes mamish like the pshat that the Mikdash Shavit says he would have learned, if not for the Rosh. I don't know if he saw the Rosh, or he had a Rosh, but he mamish learned pshat in our Mishnah that the reason why you have to get rid of the blood of the from the heart of the Elos HaTamid is because it has a problem of mashki Yisrael. In other words, dam is also for Yisrael to consume, and since also Yisrael to consume, it can't go on top of the bech. And he wants to say that this problem of mashki Yisrael only kicks in by the heart of a dam from the heart of a behemoth because it has a large quantity of dam, it has a gezayas, so it has a shear of iser. Masha'en kain by the Oilus Ha'oif and the Sugya in Zvachim, you don't have to get rid of that dam because that dam is a pachas make a shear, because the Gemara tells us, as we mentioned in Krisus, that a heart of a bird contains less than a gezayas of dam, less than a gezayas, less than a shear. So since it's a pachas make a shear, it's not a problem of mashki Yisrael, and therefore you'll be allowed to offer that blood directly on top of the berach inside of the heart of the Oilus Ha'oif. However, he asks on this Akasha, which he doesn't say a very clear teretz to, that what happened to the chatzi shiras from the Torah, that we know that pachas mikashir is also as well, that din deraisa, you're not allowed to consume pachas mikashir. So ultimately, what's the difference between the oilos behem and the oilos ha'oif, given the fact that there's some dam at any rate, and if it's less than a shir, it's still also in a Torah. So I saw an interesting teretz on this in the Sefer Chavatzolos HaShorin. Chavatzolos HaShorin wants to go with this mahalach, and he says, you could say the following, and I'll say this very bekitzer, it's actually a whole discussion, and the Achroinim, as you may be familiar, regarding the Yesoid Hadin, the fundamental idea behind the halacha of Chatzi Yishir Asam Natir. The Gemara in Masechta Yuma learns that either from a pasuk or it's a svara, it's a question exactly what the Maskana of the Gemara is. It's a pasuk or a svara that the Gemara says that we only go like Rabbi Yochanan, who held the Chatzi Yishir is Asam Natir. However, there are a number of Achroinim that suggest, the Rogachover and others, there's Achroinim that suggest that the din of Chatzi Yishir Asam Natir is not the pshat, that when the Torah gave you this specific proteus to Keaveir, the Moshe, you can't eat Nevela, you can't eat Chela, you can't eat Trefa, whatever it is exactly. So it gave you that Loisasei, and the Loisasei is all-inclusive. It includes where you have a Shir Sholem, a quantity of Kazayas, and when you have less than a Shir, is also all included in the specific Loisasei of Nevela, of Chela, of Trefa, of Chazir, of the like. That's the one way to learn, but if you have a Shir Sholem, so then you get an Oynish and you get Malkus. However, the Arachan, they wanted to suggest that that's not the correct Pshat. Rather, the correct Pshat is that there's a new din, a Naya Halacha, which you learned out of a drasha or whatever it is in the sugya in Yuma. It's a special halacha of Chatzi Shir. It's a different din. It's a independent halacha from the din of the lois hasei of the Torah. In fact, you only over according to this pshat, you only over the lois hasei if you consume the shir sholem of a kazayas. You have a shir sholem of a kazayas. That's what the lois hasei is chal on. Less than a shir is an independent concept that it's usher as well. It could lead up to a shir sholem, like the Gemara discusses in Yuma. So it has an independent iser, but it's not included in the iser of the lois hasei itself. And if you violate it, you're not even lois hasei. You're even an independent step in the Raisa, which is not a lois hasei, that you can't consume a chatzi shir of an iser. Chavetz Chaim Hashoran suggests that if you go like that, we might be able to explain this mahalach of the son of the Ofzer to Goyin in the David Meshorim in the following manner. Because we could be matzia, zokter, that we know that the din of Mashgi Yisroel prohibits that anything which is treif, anything which is osir for you to consume, he can't be makiv that onto the bech either. Zokter, it could be that that's the din of the cheftza of the entity that's being korev. In other words, the din of the cheftza, say, with the isurim, with those isurim which are in Issa Cheftza, it's the entity is redefined as Nevela, it's redefined as Trefa, etc., etc., etc. So though when it gets it the entity gets redefined, and Issa Cheftza is Chal on it, of Nevela, of Trefa, etc., so then it's felt in the din of Mashgi Yisroel, it's in violation of Mashgi Yisroel, because it's inherently redefined as that which a Yid cannot consume, and therefore you can't put on the bear. Zokta, that's been a get to a Shir Sholem, like you have over here, in the Sugya in Masechta Tomid, where the dam that contained within the left of a Behemo, which is what we're talking here, is more than a kazayas, has a shir sholem, and that's a ischeftza, and therefore gets it's a cheftza of dam. The dam is redefined as dam, it's prohibited for a yid to consume, therefore it's not mashki yisrol, and it can't go on top of the ver. Mashe ein kein zokter, with regard to the sugya in Masechta Zvachim, which is talking about dam ha'oif, in which the blood in the heart of ha'oif is less than a shir, it's less than a kazayas. So there, although there is an issa for a yid to eat it, that's an independent issa, which he suggests could be an issa gavra. The Torah is mitzvah, the Yisroel, as an individual, you, as a person, should not start consuming that blood. Don't consume even a small amount of the blood. You end up eating more, consuming more, etc. But not zokter that there's an actual Issa Chefta that's chal on a Pachas Mikashir of Dam, or a Pachas Mikashir of Isser, because Pachas Mikashir, Chatzis Shir, is an independent Issa that does not fall, it's not classified under the specific Lois essay of Nevela, of Treif, or whatever the Shir, whatever the Isser is. Rather, it's a new din, and that new din may be a Tziva on the Gavra. It's a command on the individual, you as a yid, you should not get a rein into consuming even a small amount of an iser, even though it doesn't get redefined as an iser chefs in the eyes of the Torah. So if you learn that way, then we can understand that since the pachas mikashir of dam that's within the heart of the oif, that pachas mikashir is not redefined as a forbidden entity. It's just the yid is not allowed to consume it. It's a gavra on the person. It's not redefined as a forbidden entity, therefore it doesn't get a label of mashgi yisrael of being mufka, voided by virtue of being outside of mashgi yisrael, excluded from mashgi yisrael, and consequently there's no issa to offer on top of the bech. It's only when there's an issa chefza which relabels the entity as mufka, excluded outside from the ability of a yid to eat, only then do I say that it's posel al mashgi yisrael and can't go on the bech. So that's what he wants to kind of fix up and explain, this pshat of the son of the Ofzer to Goyin, quoted in the Dovim Yeshorim. But it's interesting, the bottom line is that we have here actually two distinct explanations of the Mishnah here. One is given by the Rosh, and the other was discussed by some Achroinim, some of who actually work with it. The Rosh learns, in other words, that you have to remove the blood, because otherwise the blood, since it wasn't a skavel and a keli, can't go on the bech, whereas some Achroinim learn up differently. You have to remove the blood because the blood cannot be offered as a haktora on top of the bech, because it's also for a yid to eat, and therefore it's felt it's lacking in Mashgi Yisroel. The Gemara on Amud Beis begins a discussion of the then at the beginning of the Mishnah, it talks about how they would bind up the tleh, the land that was used for the Tamid, and it says in the Mishnah that loy hoyu kufsin es hatleh, they did not bind it to tie it up with rope in the usual manner, elo ma'akidin oisoi. The Gemara elaborates on this, and it says that that means yod voregel ka'akedas Yitzchak ben Avrom. Okay, so Parshat Pshat in this, is the way the Mefarish and most Mefarshim learn, is that they would tie it up with rope to ensure that it wouldn't move. However, they did not do it in the normal manner of the Mefarish says, either tying up all four legs together, or tying up the front legs together and the back legs, and front legs and back legs, front legs separately, back legs separately. You don't do it that way. That would be the normal, more normal way that would be called kaifsin, but rather they would do it front and back, front leg and back leg together, and front leg and back leg together. And the Gemara is explaining that that is Ka'akedas Yitzchak ben Avram. And the Gemara is saying that this is actually the way the Yitzchak was tied up on the Akedah by the great the Maisa Akedah that took place. So Avram tied up Yitzchak front leg and back, and front leg and back. That's how most professionals learn. The Parash of Mishnayos, the Rambam over here learns differently. He has a remarkable pshat. And the Rambam learns that when they, it says in the Mishnah, they did not tie him up. Rather, Makidin, Ka'akedas Yitzchak ben Avram, the Ram learns that to mean that they did not tie up the korban at all. Rather, they actually held it by hand. They would hold it firmly in their hands, akedas yad v'rego, but there was not actually any tying up at all. And the Ram says that that's why the Mishnah has some of fortune speak out. The Mishnah has a lashon of oichsen oisei a little bit later in the Mishnah. They just held on to it, oichsen oisei, because as a matter of fact, according to the Rambam, it wasn't really tied up at all. And that's akedas yitzchak ben Avram. The Rambam is meduyik there, and the Beforshim say it. The Merchavas Mishnah on the Ram of the Yad actually speaks this out, that the Ram understood that's what you have by Yitzchak and Avram as well. But Yitzchak, the Maisa, Kedesh Yitzchak, the Ram understood over there that Yitzchak was not actually tied up at all, but rather was held firmly by Avram, a Kedesh Yad V'Regel. That's what he says. I just want to mention Derech Agav that I have a lot of difficulty understanding exactly how the story took place with the Kedesh Yitzchak, if that's how it was done. I don't know exactly how it's supposed to be explained. The Pasuk says, Vayakad is Yitzchak Menoi, Vayotzim Oitzim Azbech, Himala Eitzim, there's a Pasuk in Vayera, and I don't know exactly, first of all, the Etzim concept of being oiked Yitzchak first and then placing on his back, it's itself pashtus machriach. Yitzchak was actually tied up, because then it makes sense. You know, you tie him up first and then you place him on top of the mizbech. But if he wasn't tied up, then what does it mean? Would he was held firmly in Avram's hands and then Avram put him on his back? The whole thing is very difficult to understand. And b'chav, if Avram was holding his yad v'regel with one hand and yad v'regel with the other hand, I don't know how Avram held the knife to shechtim. It's very difficult to fully grasp exactly how the story is supposed to take place according to the pshat in the Rambam. Nonetheless, this is the shita of the Rambam. The Rambam holds that they did not tie up the carbon tamid, they held it firmly, and like the Mephoshim speak out, that Ram understood our Gemara to be saying that the same thing happened by the Akedah of Yitzchak ben Avram. And the Gemara gives two pshatim why they were not kofes in the tleh, why didn't they bind it in the usual manner, or according to Ram, they didn't bind it. According to most, why didn't they bind it in the regular way? So the Gemara has two pshatim. One man, the Amma, says the reason is because kubizoy and kochim, and the other one says because that's called mahalech b'chukei ha'amem. And the Gemara explains possible nafkaminis, differences between the two pshatim. So let's go through. We'll go through the first shot a little more briefly, what the Mephoshim say, and then discuss the second shot. The first shot in the Gemara is al tbezay and kachim. So past this, it would appear that since it's a normal way that you tie up any animal that you're going to be slaughtering is to tie it up by means of a rope in the regular manner of tying it up. It would be a zayin to treat kachim and the disgrace to treat kachim in this manner. So therefore, you have to either not tie it up or the way most Mephoshim learn, not like the Rambam, you tie it in an unusual way of a kedas yad v'regel, each regel, the right hand regel with the yad, with the foreleg, and the left hand regel with the foreleg as well. The Ravid in his Peirush HaMasechta Tamid writes that he doesn't understand this well. He says, Lo hivanti shapir, my bezoyin kachim ikahocha. He says, the Ravid says, what are you going to says of the Ravid, that every single time that I find some activity or some practice that I do when I'm slaughtering non-kochims, I can't do the same thing when I'm slaughtering kochim. So what's the logic, Zokhter Ravid? Whatever is the most efficient way to do it, that's what you should do. If you're dead, they do it when it's, because it's efficient when they're certainly non-kochim, let them use the same efficient procedure when they're shatting kochim. So the main little discussion of Bezayin kochim is the Sugi Mesach de Bechoyris, where it talks about Bezayin kochim, which makes perfect sense. So there it says that there's a whole Sugi Mesach de Bechoyris, that apostle of Bechoyr, the Bechoyr that got a Bamum, so the halacha is that if you sell it, you can't sell it in the marketplace out in the open with the hubbub and the tumult and the degrading manner of being nimkar be'itlis, selling it out in the marketplace. Rather, you have to sell it discreetly in some private mokon, some private location, not moicher be'itlis. So that's a bazayan kachim. It's being treated in an ignominious fashion, like all the other animals that are out there in the marketplace with the whole hubbub and the tumult. You sell it discreetly in a more discreet way. So that's bazayan kachim there. Mashenkin over here is out there just talking about how to tie it up. So why not tie it up in the way that works best, Sokter, just because it happens to be the tie up chulin that way, it doesn't make sense, look there, that that should be a reason why that you can't tie up kachin in the most efficient way. It doesn't work. So the Ravid says it could be that the pshat is that if it's tied up in the most effective way that fully and totally incapacitates it, fully tied up, all the legs are totally tied, so to derive it, it could be that it's harehu kemes bo'odochai, it's almost like it's dead while it's still alive. So that's a disgrace to the kochim, it should be completely and totally incapacitated, that therefore you're trying to with lesser incapacitation, and therefore you do it in a somewhat less effective way, and you do each riad with the regal, the back leg and the foreleg of the right, and the left independent of one another. That's one pshat the rabbit says. Or he says another pshat, which seems a little dochuk in the words. The other pshat he says is that it could be that if you tie it up, it and you're totally incapacitated, so zokta, then it could be that when it's being mefarper, when you shech the animal, there's a thrashing around of the limbs that takes place at the time of the shechita, it's part of the death process. So when it's being mefarper, zokta, it might be that the thrashing around will generate a mum in the korban, and presumably the ravid means that this mum will take place before the gemara shechita, and it's going to pass up the korban because of bal mum. So therefore, we don't want it to be fully incapacitated, and therefore, a certain amount of room left, so it won't make itself into a balmum, b'shas to thrashing around. That's the bezoyan. That's a little dochuk l'chayr, because the Gemara shouldn't have just called it a bezoyan. They should have called it a real problem, that it can make a mum of the carbon. Eshayir, these are the two pshatim of the Ravid. It's interesting to note that the Ravid and his asogas on the Rambam and the Yad, which we'll talk about shortly, the Ravid actually says over there, interestingly, he selects the second pshat. Then he says, he apparently had a tradition from his rebbe's like that. He writes, Ani shamati shema yitztayr b'kfiyosoy v'yafar chayitz etchiyatl mum be'echem me'evorov. So there he's actually mavur that some it's going to get tremendous amount of pain from being incapacitated. It will go through a distress and be stressed from being incapacitated. It's going to thrash around and end up making a mum in one of the evorim. And he says, although the Gemara is losh anymore, doesn't mention this for it could be it's included in what the Gemara means by the expression of bezoyan kochim. So the Ravid actually gives that pshat, which seems somewhat forced, he gives that pshat the primacy when he's going and explaining it in Hasogas Ravid on the Erchazoka of the Rambam. The other pshat that the Gemara says is al chukos ha'amim. Now chukos ha'amim is actually an iser in the Torah. It's based on psukim of the Chumash. We'll talk about a little bit later about the yesoides of it. V'chukosayim lo yiseleichu. The pasuk says that you're not allowed to follow the practices of the goyim. Well, there's some details on this discussing the poskim, which we'll touch on in Mitzvah Hashem later, just to get into a little bit. And so that's chukos ha'amim. The Gemara, in a small number of places, the Gemara brings up applications in chukos ha'amim. And over here, the Gemara is suggesting that the reason you cannot bind the animal in the most efficient way. Again, the Mefarsh says either all four legs together, or the front legs together, or the back legs together. So you can't do that because of the practice of chukos ha'amim. Now, why exactly is a chukos ha'amim? Now, we say one thing is for sure, just to give a little bit of a hakdama here, and there are more passages like this in Shulchan Aruch, and it's very, very clear that anything which goyim happen to do doesn't mean that the yid can't happen to do it. If it's a logical, straightforward way to do a thing, and the reason why the goyim are doing it is because that's the logical process, the logical procedure, of course a yid could do that as well. It doesn't become usher for a yid just because the goyim are doing it, when that's the logical, straightforward reason. So on the face of it, there's a problem with this Gemara. You know, it's like, well, why is there a problem being koyfes, the four legs together, or the front legs, the hind legs? Because the goyim are doing it. So what? I mean, so that's the efficient way, so let the yid do it as well. So the classic pshat, the pasha pshat here, which is what you find the number of four shem say, in the mavur over here in the mefarish, and the mefarish is loshen over here on the side of the page. He says, it's chukei ha'amim, zokter kishamakrivim, zevach, lavetuk ha'chovim, hen koyfes and oisekach, arbaraglayim ke'echot. So in other words, he's explaining, the Mefarish is explaining, that this was the practice of the goyim. It doesn't mean the practice of the goyim stamatoi in their slaughterhouse, but rather they were makpa to tie it up in a way that fully incapacitates it when they were offering it as a sacrifice to the pagan deity, to the avodah zorah that they were offering it to. And presumably that's oifen of hachnor to the deity, that they're incapacitating it and tying it up very efficiently. So therefore, it's not became a chukas ha'amim because it became a practice of the avodah zorah, and that's why the yid is not allowed to follow it when he's lahavdol, when he's shechting a korban to the Rabban Shalom, he can't follow the chukos ha'amim, and therefore he has to bind it in a somewhat unusual way. I want to mention here that in the Perish HaRosh over here, which we'll probably talk a little bit about later on, there's a very shver azach, which I think needs work to understand how the Rosh could do this, because the Rosh actually starts by saying the same thing as the Mefarish. He starts by saying the same thing, that when the goyim are makriv, so presumably that also means that when the makriv to the getchke, to the deity, so the pagan object of worship, worship, so they are koyfase it, and they do the manner of koyfase, and so therefore you can't do it. However, a little bit later, in the next line of the Rosh, he says that's the practice of the practitioners of the worship of tzodek ubaisis. In other words, that was the method of the stoikim and betusim. And we'll talk a little bit about that later, that one of the achronim actually touches on this, what the Rosh says over here, that it's the mahalach of the practitioners of tzodek ubaisis. What I want to know here is that I think this Rosh is sorochian, and there may be a problem over here, because l'chayra, you don't find that k'mdmani, that the practitioners of tzodek ubaisis, that they had a special practice of being goyved getchkes, goyved avodah zarah. That wasn't the inyan of tzodek ubaisis. The thing about tzodek, they only kept Torah shebiksav, like it says, and they didn't keep Torah shebaalpeh. There were different things that they were choylok on the chacham, because they didn't accept the droshes of Chazal. But to say stamazay, the thing about tzodek, they're different korbanos of avodah zarah that they offered, k'mdmani, there's not something which you find. So, in other words, I don't know how the first rosh and the second rosh are supposed to stand together, because first the rosh seems to say that it's a practice of the avodah zarah, that the makrivit by being koyfis at first and fully binding it up in the fully incapacitated manner, and then later on the rosh says that it's a method of the taking by tusim to do it, which l'chayra, if that's the case, it shouldn't be described as a practitioner, as a practice of the avodah zarah. So I think that this rosh is sorochian. We'll touch on it a little bit later, but I think it needs work to understand what the shitas harosh is. Now, the Ravid, in his Hasagas on the Rambam that I mentioned before, the Ravid has a lashon with regard to this piece of Gemara, which puzzled a number of Achroinim. The Ravid brings down the Rambam, actually, over there in the Yad, says that they did not bind the Tleh, which is almost exactly the same lashon as the Gemara, that you shouldn't, that it's the following the practices of the Ovid of Zor, meaning Pashtus, the Rambam is referring to those who are Oldik Lavat Zachovim. So you're going to be observing the practices of the practitioners of idolatry, so therefore you don't bind it up. Rather, the Rambam says, "Hala oichzin yod aviraglav biyadeihen vekachoy sachidosa," etc. This, by the way, is Rambam Lishitasa. He's saying in the Yad the same thing he said in the Perush Mishnayos. They just held on to it by hand. Oichzin yod aviraglav biyadeihen. On this, the Ravid has a comment on this in the Hasogas over there. That the Rambam said, "Chuke haminim shleichako es haminim zater avu chuke haminim lo yadati mahu." That's what he says, without elaboration or any explanation further than that. Chuke haminim lo yadati mahu. What the Rambam said over here, that's chuke haminim, I don't know what it is. So on this day, I'm going to jump on him. The Be'er Sheva over here, from north in Masechta Talmud, writes that he doesn't know what in the world the kasha is. He says, to me, Ani. He says, I wonder, how could the rabbi have said such a thing? What in the world is the problem, Zokter? It's a Gemara, and it's a davar pasha to explain it. He says, Kishmachriven, Zevach, Lovid Azor, Zokter Be'er Sheva. Whenever the practitioners of the idolatrous cult used to offer a Zevach to the pagan deity, they used to bind the legs together, and that's why the Gemara says that it's chuke haminim. That's like we said over there, the Mefarshim learned that way. So what in the world was the Ravid's problem over here? Why did he say that it says, Chuki haminim lo yadati mahu? There's a Mekevet HaMishnah on that Rambam that also matters if he works to try to understand what the Ravid meant to say. And he points out that the Ravid, in his commentary over here in Talmud, the same Ravid, who authored a Perish on Talmud, so over here his Perish on Talmud, he has a different kasha, which he also blives shver on, without saying a teretz. And the Ravid says, according to the man Dama, that's Chukas HaAmim, Ikol HaMeidak, there's a kasha on him, says Frek the Ravid, the Bechulin Nami Yehi also Beshvil Tamzeh. And Manashuch, if that's an idolatrous practice, if it's a goyish practice, also a Chukas HaAmim, then why would anybody think that it's an Issa Dafka, or with regard to sacrifices to the Rabbanu Shalom, Korbanos to Hashem, it should be all ubiquitous Issa across the board. Whenever a person does any kind of act of Shechita, regardless, Cholim HaKotchim, it should be also to bind it up. It should be also, no matter when and how. So why does the Gemara say that the Issa Chukas HaGoyim is only applicable when they're offering up a carbon? So the Mekevet HaMishnah doesn't, he matters back and forth, he doesn't offer a chlor mahalach in these things. I saw there's a short piece over here in the Rani Leboiker of the North, one of the Achorinim over here, the Rani Leboiker. It says a short piece which I think is actually a Hamtzor that really works well in terms of understanding what's going on here with the Das HaRavid. The Rani Leboiker says that the Ravid's fundamental problem was they did not believe that there's anything specific to binding a carbon, an animal, can koyface the animal to bind it with rope that should make it unique and specific to an idolatrous practice rather than a practice that you do when you shecht cholin. The Ravid understood that binding it with a rope is simply an efficient practice, and even if the practitioners of the cult used to do it too, but that's the bottom line is anybody would want to do it. The bottom line is he would do it too. Anybody would want to. It's simply a most efficient way to incapacitate the animal, which is the most desirable thing when you're shechting. You want to have it incapacitated, so you bind it with rope. So what's the nafkamina that the Avodah Zarah doing it too? Anybody does it. The truth is, they're not of the Torah doing it as well, the Rebbe understood. So if any, that's the klal, by the way, and the poiskim is mevur, that in the halacha of chukas ha'am, chukas ha'goyim, that there's no issel chukas ha'goyim, anything that you would do on your own anyway, because it's a logical thing to do, so there's no issel chukas ha'goyim. So that then he says, then actually, he understands what bothered the Rebbe in the commentary on the Hasogos on the Rambam, which says, chukas ha'minu yadati mao. What bothered the Rebbe was, in other words, he knew what the Rishonim are saying, he knew how you end up teaching the Gemara, it's a problem with the copying the prayers of the goyim when you bind it up with rope. But ultimately, the Rebbe couldn't understand it, yadati mao, because it shouldn't be yosir. Lamaisa, it should not be yosir, Zokter. Because given the fact that it's something which is done even when it's shecholin, and it's simply the logical way to do it. So the Rana Leboiker adds that Alpi the Derech HaRavid, what you're going to have to learn pshat over here is that the Ravid himself chose to not answer these kashas. He didn't answer. But what you're going to have to learn Alpi the Derech HaRavid is to learn that the mention of Chukos Ha'am in this Gemara is not Me'ikar Adin, it's not a Deraisa. It's not the real Aveir of Chukosem Lo Selechu. But rather, Zok the Rana Leboiker, the Chazal, since they saw that the practitioners of idolatry are especially vigilant in binding it in this particular manner, so even though the Mice already binds it. But Alpha P. Cain was more Slogovoya to follow the exact practice. The Maisa is followed by the practitioners of idolatry of the Maisa. They're careful about it. Chotch, everybody binds it, so it shouldn't be also. It shouldn't be in Chugas Amim. Nonetheless, it's Moos Lagovoya. It's a disgusting Moos thing to do the same thing that they're doing for their Getchkel Havdul, that we should do it to the Abishtis Korban, and therefore they were Hechmiru, Chazal, Mamsi, Achum. They came up with a stringency, rabbinic stringency, to answer this thing at the end of the Isser of Chugas Amim, even though Be'etzim Ikashuras Adin is not really, should not really be included in the Isser of Chugas Amim. That's the Rana Leboike. The reason I think the Pshat is actually very sharp is like this. Is that the truth of the matter is, if you learn this way, you can understand very well that the Ravid has two kashas over here, and one kasha, as we mentioned, in his Peirush HaMesech HaTamid, and one kasha in his Hasogas on the Rambam and the Yad HaChazaka, and both of them nemzuch from this exact same starting Hanocha as identified by the Rana Leboike. In other words, the Ravid asks in his commentary on the Mesech HaTamid, and he blives with the kasha, that if it is Chukas HaAmim, then why didn't they aser even for chulin, they shouldn't be able to bind it. Why dafka for kachim? Why they ask even for chulin? Now, you stop for a moment on this question of the rabbi, which he blies shver on. You have to realize that on the face of it, it's not a kasha. On the face of it, it's not shver. Because the entire goyish practice, as the way that it's explained by the mefarish and other mefarish in the Ve'esheva that we spoke out, the goyish practice of binding it was actually specific to lahavdol, to the offering to the pagan deity. When they were offering to the geshka, the way that they did the shechita was that they would first bind it up properly in a very efficient manner and with the four legs together, and then they would shecht it. So he always said that was the practice of the goyim. That was the way that they offered their offerings to the avodah zorah. So consequently, lahavdol, when we are going to answer for us to do Rosh Chukos Ha'amim, so the way that we would answer it would be lahavdol when we are offering our avodah to the Bein Shalom, our avodah to korban in the base of Mikdash. So we can't do it in the way that they do it. That's not the Chukos Ha'amim. That's not what the goyim do. The goyim are a makbet to bind it when they slaughter a stamazoy animals for their own purposes, for their eating purposes. They are paid on binding it up is when they're slaughtering to their pagan deity, lahavdol. So Meila Fas is the same. Our Chukos Ha'amim is going to be that we can't bind it when we, lahavdol, are offering up our avoidus hakobonus to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So Meila, the Rebbe's kasha doesn't even start according to the Poshep Shad of the Mefarish and the others, why he didn't ask her this Chukos Ha'amim practice, his binding practice of binding the legs, he didn't ask her it for Cholon. Of course he didn't ask her it because it wouldn't be included in the Chukos Ha'amim because that's not what the Amma are doing. But the Ravid's understanding was very different from the other Rishonim. The Ravid learned that this was a practice that the Goyim did when they were binding the pagan sacrifices, and also when they were binding Chulin. They did all the slaughterings were done in the same manner because it's the efficient way to do it. You bind it up properly, all the legs together, or the front legs and back legs, they were bind up, and then you slaughter. So Amela, consequently, since this was done both by the Goyim, both by Chulin and by the pagan sacrifices, Samael Kumta is very good according to this pshat. That's what the Ravid asked these two independent kashes. One kash he's asking by Yos in the Peirush on Tomer, he's blabbing Shver. Monoshoch, if you're going to ask it al Chukos Ha'amim, so ask it by Cholin too. You should ask not just limited to Kovoidos HaKobonos of Kochim, if it's Chukos Ha'amim, so you should ask it by Cholin. That's because the Ravid understood that the Goyim are binding it up both by Cholin and by Kochim, and not the way the Mefarish and the other Rishonim learn over here. So he is Taka, that if you're asking al Chukos Ha'amim, you should ask it for Cholin as well. Same thing, the Ravid in the Hasog chugas arrival on the yad, the way that the achronim are learning him up, the way the Ran Lebeka learned him up, chugas aminin loyadati mahu, I don't know what it is. What do you mean loyadati mahu? So the Ran Lebeka, the Ravid's kasha is, because since according to his understanding, this was something which was logical and was done across the board by goyim, when they were slaughtering, mundane slaughterings for eating, when they were slaughtering to the pagan getchke, whatever it is, they always bound it up. So if that's the case, it does no shaykhah to chugas, because it was done simply based upon efficiency and based upon the most logical way to bring about the results that you should incapacitate it to slaughter it. If that's the case, there's no isser of on that altogether. So both kashas that arrive at, according to this shat, nemzuch from this one core element, this one core issue the Ravid had, which is he understood that the binding, it was not done special for the pagan geshkes, the way the Mepharish and others learned, but rather it was always bound simply to incapacitate it in the best way. And that the Ran Lebeka is answering, that apidarech arrived, you could answer, that afa pikein, zachum etachatawa machmir, by kochin specifically, because it's most lagavoya, it's disgusting for a repulsive lagavoya to offer that which the goyim doing for their own, to have them for their pagan services, even though choch it's logical and efficient, etc., etc. Nonetheless, there's a takonet abonon by kochin specifically to ask him the abonon out, most lagavoya, that you can't bind it up. Later on the Omer, the Gemara goes through a cheshbon of the Eser Shulchonois that we had in the Azorah and in the Beis HaMikdash, a grand total of 10 tables. This is based on the Sugyan Shkolem, and the Gemara reckons the various function of the various Shulchonois. You had the ones that were in the Azorah, which was used for butchering the animal on it and other purposes. You have the Shulchonois in the Beis HaMikdash that they placed the Lechem upon them on in the Ulam temporarily when they were on the way in. The one that was the Shulchan Azov that was in the Heichol itself, which they would place Lechem upon them on throughout the week, etc. So there's 10 Shulchonois. The Mefarish over here as the cash that there were more than 10. The Farash asks, why didn't they reckon the Yud Shulchonois she'osa shloim b'mikdash? And he quotes a sugi mesech de menachos, which is really based upon psukim in Tanakh, the psukim in the Malachim, the Vehyon, that you have psukim that Shlomo HaMelech actually made 10 Shulchonois, all of which were in the Heichol. There's a whole sugi of Tzadik Tes and Menachos about this, and the sugi in the Yushalmi Shkolim discusses it as well, that it was a 10 Shulchonois. So, it actually was a total of 11, by the way. 10 Shulchonois that Shlomo made, plus the one that Moshe had, total of 10 tables in the Heichol of the Beis HaMikdash. So if that's the case, so the Mefarish over here, there was much, much more than the total of 10, because you're leaving out much extra 10 tables that Shlomo made. So Mefarish answers by saying that the Mishnah, the Gesugi over here, is only counting, it's only reckoning the ones that they actually utilized for a particular purpose, they were menochen aleihem, that they would put something upon it. And since he quotes the Sugi Mesech the Menochos, that Esel Shulchonos Osa Shloimoi, Velaher Mesazin, Ela Al Shem Moshe, that they only placed the Lechem on the one that Moshe made, so the other ones didn't have a function, so therefore they're omitted in the calculation of the 10. That's the Mepharish's answer to the Kasha. Truth is, the Tera is not so poshut offhand, because in the Sugi Menochos is Mavua that it's Machlekes Tanoim, whether they would place upon him only on Moshe's or even on Shlomo's. So evidently the Mefarish is going to have to learn that this sugya is tied down to the specific sheet in Masechta Menachos that the Lech HaPonim is only placed on Moshe's Shulchan and the other ones did not have any functions. That's how the Mefarish is going to learn. The Tosfos Rid, the Masechta Yuma, Daf Nun Aleph, asks this kasha as well, and he says a different teretz. The Tosfos Rid asks, why doesn't the sugya, it's really a mission in Shkolem, as we said, the sugya over here in Tamid, why doesn't it mention the extra shulchanois that Shlomo made? The Tosfos Rid says that it's apparent that those 10 shulchanois, which are mentioned, as we said, in Divrei Yom, so those 10 shulchanois were only found in the Beis HaMikdash of Shlomo, which is the Bayis HaRishon, Mashenk and the Bayis HaSheni, which is, of course, the one that Chazal discussed, that's discussed over here in Tamid, and Mishnayos in Shkolem, that's the Bayis HaSheni, the second Beis HaMikdash, so that did not have the extra 10 shulchanois. So it does not explain, by the way, why that would be. I mean, if there was an extra 10 shulchanos by Shlomo, why they leave it out in the Bayis HaSheni? We will talk, hopefully, if we have time, a little later about that. But Koponim, the Tosfos Rid says his word, but then he blives by a kasha on there, because it's actually Mavur Zok there in the Sugya in Yuma Na'alef, which is where the Tosfos Rid is. You know, there's Mavur over there that they actually did have all 10 shulchanos by the Bayis HaSheni as well. Bayis HaSheni as well. And the Gemara actually has a whole discussion of the Kohen Gadol going Lefnai V'Lefnei Kippur. So what derech, which route did he follow through the Heichol? And the Gemara discusses he has to make sure he doesn't get blocked by the Shulchanos. The Shulchanos aren't in his way. And the Gemara assumes there's pretty much a given there, apparently, that there was these 10 Shulchanos by the Bayis HaSheni as well. So it's admitted, blives with a big steer on this. Some say maybe a Machloikas HaSugis, perhaps, different opinions on this in Chazal, whether it was 10 Shulchanos only by the Bayis HaRishon, which is the Mashmois over here, and in Shkolem, that's where it doesn't count anymore Shulchanos, or that they had 10 Shulchanos by the extra 10 by the Beis HaSheni as well, which is what it seems to say in Masechta Yuma, Daf Nun Aleph. Now, in the Sefer Yad David, one of the Achronim in the Sugya Menachos, Tzadik Ches over there, the Yad David asks the questions. He says, first of all, Bechlal, what was the Heter to add on Shulchanos that Shlomo had? We know that Shlomo added Shulchanos. It's Mavun and Devayom that he added another 10. But what was the Heter? You know, there's a din, a specific halachas of the size of the Mikdash, the size of the amount of Kalim that you have, Kleim Mikdash. What was the Heter Bechlal to add extra 10 Shulchanos? If moreover, the Sugya in Mesechta, over there, it's mavur that's machloikis, that according to one mandama, which in the farish goes over here, the Tanakama sheet over there is that they only put the lechems on the shulchan of Moshe and they never put on the others. However, there's another mandama, Elizabeth and Shemu over there, that holds that they actually put the bread on the other shulchanes as well. And there's actually a big machloikis we shine and discussed in different achroinim, as big machloikis what the pshatan that is. Rashi's sheet in Menachos is that there was never more than one set of lechem upon it. However, they would alternate different weeks according to Elizabeth and Shemu, which shulchan they would put it on. Some week they would put it on Moshe, some weeks they put on others, one set of lachapones that you put it on all different places. However, the Achronim bring down that the Yalkut Shemoini is Mavur Beferish Fakir. The Yalkut Shemoini says, Mamash black on white, that they would, according to that man, the Omar, they would actually put lechems on every single one of the Shulchanos, Mamash 11 sets of lechem opponents. And likewise, the Yalkut Shemoini also says the same is true about the Menorahs, because it says that Shlomo made 10 Menorahs as well. And according to that man, the Omar, they would actually light all 11 Menorahs as well. And the Yalkut Shemoini is against Rashi. The Yalkut Shemoini calls a Medrash Tadsh that says this thing. It's a type, it's a medrash. So Akoponim, this is a whole big mevucha, and the Yad David asks on that as well. The Yad David says that it's not a shapela godla, how they can moisef avoidus in the base of Mikdash and moisef kabonis. He says the Torah gives you a specific number of kabonis and specific kabonis that you have to offer, and the kabonis at Sibir, and you can't just add to them because you want to. So what was the het of Bechlal according to this other man, the Amati, moisef more lechem aponim? If you go with the medrash, Mamash, they had 11 lechem aponim every single Shabbos according to this, at least in the Bayis HaRishon, like we're saying, and what Bechlal was the heter to do such a thing. So the Adavid has a big mefucha there. The Adavid comes out, Zokter, that he says that it's going to have to be based, it's a pasuk in Divrei Yom. The Gemara quotes in a few places, the pasuk in Divrei Yom says that David HaMelech is telling Shlomo about the preparation for the Mikdash. So you see, David had prepared for the Mikdash before he passed away. So David says, Hakol b'chsav miyad Hashem alai hiskil. The David says, everything is written down in a ksav from the Yad Hashem alai hiskil, that the Abish to give over to me the message. And the different Mephorishim learn over there that David HaMelech had Mar Nevuah, that the Nevi'im gave it over, and it was all written down in Ksav ben Nevuah from the Nevi'im, exactly what would be the Kalim of the next Beis HaMikdash. And in Mele, David knew that there would be Kalim that would be different from the original Mishkan and from the previous Mishkanos that he would have in the Beis HaMikdash because of this then of Hakol B'Chsav. That's the halacha of Hakol B'Chsav. So he says that Hakol B'Chsav, and that was the explanation for how it is that there were Moisif, more Al Shulchanos, and more Menorahs as well in the Beis HaMikdash that did not exist originally in the Mishkan. Now, if you think about it carefully, what's actually very modern about this is that the din of Hakol B'Chsav would never be able to explain how they added more Karbonis. You want to tell me they added more Kalim based on Hakol B'Chsav? That's what the Pasuk is talking about over there in Divrei Yom. That David is telling Shlomo the building is going to be built in this exact manner with such and such dimensions and such Kalim. And it's Hakol B'Chsav Miyad Hashem Alai Hiskel. It's all written down in the writings that the Nevi'im have given over, that the Beis HaMikdash is going to have these dimensions and these Kalim. But the Hakol B'Chsav has nothing to do with how many Karbonis is going to be. Karbonis are in the Torah. So really, the Yad David asked the Kasha, which he never answered, which is a bit of a dove muflo. I mean, he asked two kashas: how are the moist of Kalim and how are the moist of Kabonis? How are the moist of Kalim that he says from Hakol B'Chsav, but how are the moist of Kabonis that's managed not explained at all in the words of the Yad David? How are the moist of Kabonis? What's the head of such a thing? The Yad David is actually mashma over there that he thinks the Hakol B'Chsav allows you to add Kabonis, to add Lechem opponents as well, but it's actually very schwer because you never find that Hakol B'Chsav should be used for that purpose. And the context in Divrei Yom, it's actually clear that what it's used meant for it, and there's no mention whatsoever of Kabonis in the whole discussion. That's not what Hakol B'Chsav is about. Interestingly, the Yad David al-Pidarkoi writes that since these Kalim, these extra Shulchanos were added based on Hakol B'Chsav, so he says that that's actually a Tzivoy al-Pinovi. In other words, he apparently understood it's not the same as a Tzivoy deraisa. It's not a din deraisa. It's a Tzivoy al-Pinovi. It came from the Nevi'im. And mainly he gets into a whole materai whether they will be able to madlik the extra hadlokas on the extra menorahs on Shabbos based on something which is just a tzivei al pi novi. So at the melee, the one-time basis, or Roa Shor, is one thing, but that they should be makkah, or for hundreds of years, Zokter, that they could be do malachas on Shabbos and light the menorah on Shabbos based upon the word of a novi and to do it mamash bekva, doir after doir, once they head to Zokter, do it up the words of a novi. So he has a big problem, and he says maybe on Shabbos they taka did not light the extra menorahs, and the man dama that lit the extra menorahs is only 6 days a week, and it wasn't 7 days a week, which the whole thing is really very, very very schwer and thorochian to learn this way. So I wanted to mention two things. The first point I wanted to make on my own, and that is that if you look in the classic Gdolei Achronim, how they learned Abhakal B'Chsav, they did not understand it in the way that the Yad David learns it. The Yad David seems to understand that the din of Hakal B'Chsav, that David HaMelech says it was given by a Neviim, by Nevuah, that the Naya Beis HaMikdash we're going to build has a special dimension, special kalim. So Yad David seems to learn up that that's a din of a Tziva al Pinovi, which is not the same thing as a din derais in the Torah. However, you really find that that's not the way that the Achronim learn up. There's an important tshuva in the tshuva of Chasam Sofer in Yadei Reish Lamavav, where he says, Beferi Shakert. Chasam Sofer says that whatever David HaMelech was given with the Hakal B'Chsav, and whatever the Neviim and Mitzvah had to do, that became the din derais and mamish of how to build the base of Mikdash, and he explains it like this. The Chasam Sofer says that the Gemara Masechta Shvua says, the Pasuk in Truma, that Vasisa, also Mishkan at Seishitim, etc., etc. The Pasuk says you have to make also the Mikdash, the Kol HaShem and Yidin Tzaveh, V'chein Tasu. That's the Pasuk continues in Truma, V'chein Tasu. Zoch the Gemara, V'chein Tasu L'doyroiz. V'chein Tasu L'doyroiz. In other words, that the mitzvah of building a Mishkan or Mikdash is not just one time, V'chein Tasu L'doyroiz. Zoch the Chasam Sofer, what that means is, the way to teach the Gemara and the way to teach the Pasuk is, the correct way to teach it is, K'choil also L'mikdash, V'shachanti B'soichem, K'choil HaShem and Imar, O'yisach, etc., V'chein Tasu. Meaning the Ebershter tells Moshe that you're going to build a Mishkan, and how, what would be the dimensions, and what would be the Kalim? K'choil HaShem and Imar, O'yisach, whatever I'm showing you, that's how you're going to that's how you're going to build it. Zokti Gemara, V'chein Tasu L'dayris. Zokti Chasam Sofer, the same is true L'dayris. When you want to build a base of Mikdash, and David is going to be preparing, and Shlomo is going to be building, how are they going to know what the dimensions are? And how are they going to know what the Kalim are? The answer is, Asher Animaro Oysoch, the Ibishter is going to give a Mar Nevuah to the Neviim, and the Neviim will tell you what the Beis HaMikdash region has to look like. And the emesis, I'll just add, the same is true of the Bayis HaShlishi, which you have in Plokum Shlemim and Sefer Yecheskel about, which looks different. The Bayis HaShlishi looks different from the other Mikdashim. What they had to build the Beis HaMikdash that way, it's all according to Chasam Sofer. The Pshat is that the Pasuk itself is telling you, V'osali Mikdash, K'chol HaShem Animaro, V'chein Tasu L'doyrois, like the Gemara says in Shuas, every time they're going to build a base of Mikdash, you'll have Nevi'im. The Nevi'im are going to be telling you how to build that base of Mikdash. And they'll be telling you a different way. Each way, each base of Mikdash in accordance with the Mar Nevuah of that. That's what the Hakal B'Chsav is. On Sefer Mevuah, that is the Ikrit Sivoy of Osali Mikdash, of the base of Mikdash of Shloimoy, is to build it based upon the Hakal B'Chsav. It may lead to the Reis of Gomur. It's not just a Mitzvah Divin Nevuah. By the way, how they built the second base of Mikdash, that will be discussed. We'll get into that in Mesech Midas and Mitzvah Hashem, how they figured out the dimensions, everything with the building the second base of Mikdash. But upon it, these are the Yesoidos, and it's really a Chlorazach. It's a bore like this. That the Chasam Sofer, he says it's very stark, he said that the Hakal B'Chsav is not in fact the Rabbonon, it's not a Tziv al-Pi Novi, but rather that is the Iker Oifen of Osali Mikdash was given me Korah by the Rabbonon Shalom, that I'll let you know each time, says the Ebishter, through my Nevi'im, how you'll be building a Mikdash. I'm letting you know now, the dimensions I'm giving you now in the Midbar in Parshas Truma, I'll let them know then what, when it comes to Tovin and Shloimoy, they'll have a Hakal B'Chsav and they'll be told, and that's all aligned in the Dinder Reise of Achein Tasu. The other Yesoid I wanted to tell you is a very important Yesoid for the Sefer Knesset Rishonim, Ahentik Sefer, on Mesechta Menachos, Daf Tzadikei. He says a big Yesoid. I actually discussed it a little bit more of Arichos in my Shurim that I said on Mesechta Shkolim for the Shas Illuminated. You could listen to it over there. But I'll say it Pekitzer over here. It's an important Yesoid to say over. And Knesset Rishonim explains that he answers a number of kashes with this Yesoid of his, that he says that there's Fei Dinim, two different halachos that each engender the din of putting Lechem upon him down to the Shulchan and make one of them, Zokter, is a lechem upon him, is a type of a korban. It's a korban like any other korban. The Gemara classifies it as one of the types of korban mincha. It's just like there's a tzivoy to bring a korban tomet every day, and to bring a korban pesach when it comes pesach time, and to bring korbanos and musif, whatever it is. There's a tzivoy in the Torah, a mitzvah in the Torah to bring a korban called lechem upon him. And the tzivoy, the din korban, is mechayev the din lechem upon him. Like any other carbon. The under halacha Zokta Knesset Rishonim is that there's a din in Hilchoy's Shulchan that the Shulchan fodded lechem upon him on it. In other words, there's a din in the Shulchan that the Shulchan has to have lechem upon him on the Shulchan. So totally aside from the mitzvah to have a carbon called lechem upon him, I have a mitzvah in the Shulchan that if I have a Shulchan, the fulfillment of the mitzvah Shulchan is to have lechem upon him on that. And he explains really Be'etzem that there's a number of places in the Chumash where it seems to say this thing, that there's a din in the Hilchoy's Shulchan. V'nasata ala Shulchan lechem upon him lefanei tomet. There's a mitzvah in Parashat Truma had to build a shulchan. As the Torah concludes, you place in the shulchan lechem upon him. Likewise, when they built the shulchan, it says a shulchan that's called Kaila, ve'ez lechem upon him. In Parashat Kudei Duchzich. So it's really Mevur zokt there that if there is going to be a shulchan in the hilchos shulchan, there has to be a din to have lechem upon him on that shulchan. And the Knesset Rishonim says, and this is really a very stark uptight, he says, if we find a man the omar, according to some midrashim, according to the way some aforishim line up, a man the omar menachas tzadik test that held that when there was a din to have 10 shulchanois, b'shas, the bias harishon of shloimoi, and really according to one tzad, even the bias hasheni, like we said before, a din to have 10 shulchanois, extra shulchanois, shulchanois of shloimoi, a din to have 10 extra sets of lechem upon him, zokta, which be'etzem really it's a davar tamua. The Torah is, you look in the Torah only gives you one mitzvah lechem upon him. There isn't 10 mitzvahs of lechem, 11 mitzvahs of lechem upon him. They should have lechem, lechem upon him. Where does it come from? Where does it nemzach, azazach, zokta? They should have 11 lechem upon him. Zokta, the answer to that question is with this yisoid. Else the mitzvah's korban of the lechem upon him, that's a klai, also the mitzvah of korban sibir, like any korban sibir is a mitzvah, have a korban lechem upon him. That taco is only mechayev one korban lechem upon him. Ober, since there is a mitzvah in the dine shulchan, that a shulchan is mechayev, a shulchan engenders a mitzvah lechem upon him. So that's why in one man the Amr, it's in the Gemara Menachas, it says that the shulchan of Shlomo engendered that mitzvah as well. And the Meila mitzvah, the dine shulchan, they had to have 11 lechem upon him. And that really, b'pshutoy, is the richtige, the correct answer, really, to this question that's asked by the Yad Dovid, that how could it be? The same thing is true with the 11 menorahs, according to one man the Amr, they would light 11 menorahs each time, and even on Shabbos, and the Yad Dovid asks, how could you do that, etc., etc. So like we said before, really, you look on the Chumash, you're not going to find it. So where would there be a mitzvah to have 11 lechem upon him, and one of the Omer, 11 lochas menorahs in the other, according to one man the Omer? The answer to that, as explained by the Knesset Rishonim, is that it's not an independent 11 mitzvahs out of the mitzvah of having lechem upon him. The pshat is that the Torah said that one of the dinim in a shulchan is to have a placement of a lechem upon him on the shulchan. Same presumably is true for the menorahs. In the hilchos menorah is to have the menorah should be dolok. Mele defer, if I have a mitzvah to have 11 shulchanos, nichon their mitzvah is that each shulchan is mechayev, what a shulchan is mechayev, and therefore I had to have 11 sets of lechem upon him as well.
You have been listening to a shiur from shasilluminated.org. For other shiurim on any daf and shas, including Myra McClaymus on each shiur, please visit shasilluminated.org. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the daf worldwide. We can be reached at 203-312-SHAS, or you can email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.